when I came out, one of my friends told everybody else in the school. So that was really surprising and really tough, because it was just sort of like, surprise, I'm really different, you know? And I think in high school, you know, everyone's just trying to fit in and just be normal.
This is Jeremy Diaz speaking about his days as an openly gay high school student in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Somebody took a copy of my Catcher in the Rye book, and they replaced all the O's in the word for into an A and all the R's into a G, so it said fag.
Oh my god.
So it's like, Holden Caulfield went fag for a glass of milk, and it's just like, I mean, it was always like a bunch of little things or big things, or like after school, someone would try and beat me up, or they'd beat me up, or it was just, I don't know. And eventually, like, you just stop telling people and you just sort of stop talking about it, and it's just all internal and it's all the time. And I sued my school and my school board for not providing a safe environment for me to work and study in. And a few years later, I came to university, and then I got a letter saying that I won, and I got $5,000, and I'm like, Cuba, you know, drinking on the sand.
So what was the basis of saying that it wasn't a safe environment?
Well, basically, actually, I sort of won, and it's hard to prove stuff like that, too, actually. I won because I wrote a letter to the Minister of Education, and she replied back saying that, oh, I spoke to your, you know, school board trustee people, and they said that there is no problem. And so I had this letter proving that she looked into it, and they said that there was no problem. And then I got a bunch of people in the school to sign a petition saying there was a problem. So clearly my board director was lying to the Minister of Education. So when I won the money, right, it was sort of like, ooh, yay. And then I spent it on creating a scholarship, and that was really cool, because the scholarship is in for any student graduating to do work in their community to address discrimination, promote diversity, which is super cool.
So what could they have done better?
You know, I remember one time I was getting pushed into a locker, and my vice principal came up the stairs, and she saw me getting, like, you know, hit, and she walked away. And I think that was, it wasn't even like, I mean, some teachers were homophobic, but the majority of them were just sort of like, we don't want to deal with this, we don't care, or we're not trained to. I mean, I remember one teacher saying, you know, I don't really know what to say to someone who's making fun of you in class, so I just ignore it. Is that okay? And I'm like, I remember being a high school kid and just being like, yes, I don't know. What are you supposed to do? And she's like, I don't know. I spoke to the union. I spoke to the school board. And, like, I don't have any information.
Jeremy's teacher wasn't the only teacher who didn't really know how to help a student deal with homophobic bullying. Liz Meyer was teaching in a boarding school in New York State when she found herself in a similar situation.
I had a student, a female student, who was in the process of coming out to herself, and she confided in me, and her friends started knowing about it, and then they just started being relentless in the name-calling and the exclusion and the horrific things that they did. And they had been, you know, her best friends for 4 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, something changed, and they decided that they had to punish her for it. It's not always necessarily beating, but it can be things like, you know, like taking away your book bag for the day and not telling you where it is, you know, or, you know, somebody just kind of pushing into you in the hallway, and it kind of looks like an accident, but it happens so often, or a bunch of people are laughing in the background, so you know that it's not really an accident.
So
you
what
know?
Do you do when you witness this?
Well, as a first-year teacher, the best thing I knew to do was to give her individual support, and that's the one thing that I knew I could have control over, because when you've got a whole high school with a whole bunch of students and you don't even know all of them, you can't necessarily stop everything that's happening. So I did everything I could to show her that I was there to listen, that I was there to offer resources and information, that I was there if she just needed a shoulder to cry on, which often was the case. And then I tried to talk to my colleagues to see if they knew what was going on, to see if they could do anything about it. But unfortunately, there was a big code of silence around homosexuality. And And so then I went to a conference in Boston that year, put on by the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. And that's where I met like about 200 other educators who were taking action against these issues in schools and recognizing that there were students who were committing suicide, using drug and alcohol, getting targeted for bullying and physical violence. And I was all inspired to go back and make a change in my school. And then I got fired because of the steps that I tried to take.
What were those steps?
Well, I wrote an article in a small newsletter for teachers where I talked about this one student anonymously, but how there was a student in my school and that I was trying to help her by doing these things. And these are things that we could all do, have diversity clubs or have books or posters that represent gay and lesbian, bisexual individuals. And my headmaster read it and was furious that I had published this article and then revoked my contract for the following year, said you have to leave immediately. We don't talk about this. We don't deal with this here. I was a bit destroyed for a while because it was my first job. I loved teaching. I loved my students. I lost my home because it was actually a boarding school. So I lost my home. I lost my job. I lost my sense of self for a little while. So I moved to New York City because I'm from the States. And that's where I turned my sort of depression into anger and activism.
Eventually, Liz went back to university. She was tired of being told that she wasn't an expert in the kind of problems that she was trying to fight. I'll show you an expert, she thought. She went on to get a PhD in education. Now she teaches in the education department at Concordia University in Montreal. She trains future teachers about the bullying they might see in schools and what they can do about it. Meanwhile, Jeremy Dyer's scholarship fund had expanded. He and his team were visiting schools all over Canada to give anti-discrimination workshops.
Every school is different, but what we've done in some schools is we tend to start with like an assembly presentation to sort of get people aware of the issues and motivated, and then we continue that with in-class workshops. And we've done some really interesting follow-up program too, so we'll complement our program with like a theater workshop around bullying or a video workshop around bullying. So maybe we'll do like clips from like Twilight or clips from South Park or clips from The Simpsons.
Do you ever feel like any of the participants are pushing back? Or do you?
Oh yeah, all the time. It's really interesting. You know, you totally know who the bully kids are in like 5 minutes. And some of them will be like, what's it like to have gay sex? You know, and they'll try and trip you up with really awkward questions. And it's sort of like, well, it's kind of like having straight sex, except there's no vagina, you know? It's exactly the same, you know? And they sort of look at you and they're like, you know, they wanted you to say something really graphic and disgusting. And then you say something like that. And then you compliment it with something like, and, you know, sex is not the only thing you do in a relationship. You know, me and my boyfriend go out, we get dinner, we cook for each other, we hang out with our friends. You know, we don't just have sex, right? Actually, one kid in a middle school class recently said, he was like, but don't you feel bad doing something wrong? You know, and we're like, well, we don't feel it's wrong and you're entitled to your own opinion, but what we do feel is wrong, what we can probably agree on is being mean to other people is wrong.
Yeah. Do you ever have a kid where you feel like, okay, he's totally getting it?
Oh yeah, all the time. I think the majority of kids like totally get it. You know, we were in one school one day and a kid was like, he was in shop class and one kid was like, stop being a fag. And the teacher was about to say something and then we weren't even there. And the teacher was describing us how she was about to say something. And then another kid was like, don't say that, man. That's not cool. And another kid was like, yeah, that's not cool. Weren't you listening to the workshop last period? And it's funny, right? Because like, that's what you want, right? You want kids to dress themselves. You don't want the teachers to have to intervene.
I think one of the most important things that teachers can do is to support student activism. I don't think the students bear the sole responsibility for making the change, but they are an incredible engine behind it. That oftentimes when administrators who are the most conservative and the most reluctant to change, when there is a powerful groundswell coming from the youth, it's hard to say no.
Yeah, I don't think it's cool how, like, if you're trying to put like a negative effect on someone, you say something negative to them and you use the word fag, that doesn't work with me. I don't get that.
Definitely. Every single insult from a guy to another guy is a gay reference. It's just another person, you know? It might be hard to accept that first, but you can get over it.
just because they love another guy or another girl doesn't mean they're not allowed to love.
Jeremy's organization is called Jer's Vision. It now holds about 8 workshops in Canadian schools every week. Liz Meyer released a book earlier this year called Gender, Bullying, and Harassment: Strategies to End Sexism and Homophobia in High Schools. And the students you just heard speaking about how they think homophobic harassment is not cool were from the Beaconsfield High School in the suburbs of Montreal. For Concordia News, I'm Samantha Rideout.